What is up, everyone? This is Jake from Radio Underland. Yeah. I happen to be sitting around today and I thought, you know what? There's a lot of crazy news that's been going on that we haven't been able to talk about. And I stepped away from doing the daily news shows. Just life got too busy. I had too much stuff going on. I just couldn't make it happen every day, which is unfortunate. But right now, I happen to have some time. And so I thought I'd sit down for a little bit and just kind of go over some of the stuff that's happening around the world that we live in. Stuff that's controversial, stuff that's not controversial, stuff that's funny, stuff that's ridiculous. But anyways, this is Jake from Radio Underland. And of course, you can catch our big show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can watch it live on Facebook or YouTube. We live stream to those locations. Of course, you can listen to the podcast, which is available anywhere podcasts are found, and that's Radio Underland. Okay. So, I'm sitting here and I'm looking through the news, and there's some interesting stuff that's out there. Now, you know, we've had a friend of the show or an acquaintance of the show. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say friend. Well, I would say friend. I mean, he has my cell phone number. I have his, and he's a nice guy. And even though he does some quirky things, but I'm referring to Dion Cheney. Now, Dion Cheney, he is the captain of the flag drops that we've seen everywhere from, you know, football stadiums, baseball games, Disneyland, all that kind of stuff. Dion Cheney, he's always dropping flags. Well, it looks like to me, some other kids are kind of going with the same type of vibe that Dion has done by dropping flags, except the one kicker here is that they are not dropping a Trump supporter flag. They're dropping the Confederate flag. Now, of course, you know, there's arguments about the Confederate flag. Now, I myself do not fly a Confederate flag anywhere. It's a sign. Some people say it's a sign of heritage, you know, and it has no racial motivation or no racial meaning. I think that's kind of horse shit, but that's just my opinion on the matter. When I see somebody flying a rebel flag off the back of their truck, I kind of have an idea of who that person is and what they are. I'm thinking to myself that they're a redneck, they're a cousin fucker, and they want to hang the next black person that they see. That's what I think when I see the Confederate flag. Now, the person driving that truck might be the furthest from that, but it comes with a negative connotation, and that's what the negative connotation is. But what happened was a Missouri high school became a battleground earlier this month where flags became proxies for the students' feelings. So what happened was there was a bunch of LGBT rainbow flags that were passed around. And so some other students countered the rainbow flags by flying the rebel flag. Now, I mean, okay, all right. Do the kids have the right to do that? Unfortunately, this is America and you do have freedom of speech. And yes, I believe they do have the right to do that. But just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. Okay. So what happened was after the LGBT rainbow flags were handed out in the school's cafeteria, some students replied by draping a large Confederate flag in the lunchroom. Now, following the incident, the school district won't reveal details of its investigation, but has emphasized that the safety and education of students is of the utmost concern. Of course, they're going to say that. One of the students behind the distribution of the LGBT rainbow flags, a sophomore, Rose Schillemaller, who passed around nearly 60 pride flags, attested that the purpose of handing out the flags was not to make an overt political statement. She said that the flags were a good way to show people that they're not alone and that people would put them, that they would put them like sticking out of their backpacks or just carry them around. That was in her words. A junior at the same school, Abigail Lipford, recalled that, in her words, "On Monday, I saw a girl walking down the hallway, and she had like a gay pride flag in her ponytail. I noticed two boys get up, and they have the Confederate flag, and they're like showing it to the lunchroom in the senior cafe." So the West Plains School District has been made aware of the recent displaying of the flags on the high school campus during school hours. While we're unable to comment specifically on an ongoing investigation, all board policies will be followed. The West Plains School District is committed to addressing the concerns being raised by all of our students and parents. Okay, so this is from the National File, nationalfile.com, and that was a story. And for all these news stories, or most of these news stories I go over, you can find those and chime in with your own comments on Radio Underland, the news group that is on Facebook. So if you just look facebook.com and search for Radio Underland, news group. So, yeah. So what do you do in a situation like this? You know, these boys that are, because it looks to me in the pictures, because they do have a picture of the Confederate flag flying, and it looks like it's a bunch of, you know, teenage boys. It looks to me like they are probably more so trolling than anything. Are they racist? I don't know, but they're flying this symbol that has represented race, bad things. The blood that is on that flag and what it represents and the history behind it. There's a lot of, you know, that these are the people that were fighting to keep slavery. You know what I mean? So, what do you do? What do you do with kids like this? Do they have the right to do it? Well, I think they do. But what do you do as a school district? Do you kick them out? I mean, and what is the difference between the racial hate flag, or the hate that stands behind the Confederate flag, and the LGBT rainbow flag? I think what's going on here is, from both angles, is there's people that are offended by the LGBT flag. Okay? I'm not, but there are people that are. Am I offended by the Confederate flag? I'm not a big fan of it. But there are people that definitely are. And what you have here is you have these two groups, these two students that are going into a situation at a school and representing different beliefs. And do we have room for that? Now, honestly, I think the boys are just trolling. I really think they do. But at the same time, if they're just trolling, but they happen to have access to a Confederate flag, well, maybe it's a little more deep-seated than just what it appears to be on the surface. But what do you do about this? Do you ban all flags at the school? Do you ban all flags, any support for any belief? Do you ban that at the school? And you're saying, well, nobody's offended by the LGBT, you know, rainbow flag. Yeah, there's people that are. There's people that are. Unfortunately, there's people that are. You know, there's highly religious people that don't agree that that is the biblical way of doing things, and they're offended. And, you know, what are you going to do about that? So what do you do? Does government step in a bigger way and ban flags on campuses altogether? Support for anything? You know, I saw this video the other day, and it was this kid on this bus that was just getting his ass handed to him. I mean, he was just getting rocked. He was just getting pummeled. Nobody was stopping it, and he was just getting pummeled. And what he was getting pummeled for was because he supported Donald Trump. He supported the president of this country. Now, should that be happening? No, it shouldn't. No, it shouldn't. Do I personally think that the kids should be allowed to fly a Confederate flag at the school? No, I think it's a bad idea. But should it be regulated? Should something be done to these kids? And that's something I don't know the answer to. But I'd like to hear from you if you have any thoughts about this, of how do you handle this when kids are pushing their freedom of speech to the limit. But do we still limit freedom of speech? And from me, coming from my perspective of limited government and, a standpoint where I don't believe that the government needs to get involved in every aspect of our life, I say no. See, there's other consequences that come with doing acts like this. You know, today's generation of kids, they're a lot more tolerant of different cultures, different religious beliefs, different viewpoints. Okay. They're much more tolerant than generations of the past. They just are. And the thing that you have to realize is that these boys that were flying the Confederate flag, they're going to get some peer pressure, or at least I would hope that they do. You know, sometimes it's not about regulating something, but it's about the peer pressure from their peers, you know, of people asking them, why would you do that? Why are you a racist? You know, asking them the questions. But is that punishment enough, or should they be punished at all? It's something that is a really, really, like, I put myself in the position if I was principal of that school. And it's like, what do you do? Where's the line? What do you do? How do you make this right? Or can it not be made right? I mean, I can imagine the school board and the principals that are running this school, no matter what decision they make, there's going to be people that are pissed at them. There's just no way to avoid this conversation or this topic without some controversy. And I think that you swing towards where the broadest perspective is. And I think the broadest perspective is that the rebel flag is not a sign of something that is welcome on a school property. Yes, it's in the history books. Yes, you talk about it. Yes, you teach about it. Yes, you give examples of where that flag flew and what the army fighting behind it, what they represented. Yes, you do that in the school, but to come out and display it like almost as a show of support, I don't know. That's a tough road. But I think, what would I do? And that's a very tough one. And it's like, how do you do something to the kids that are flying the Confederate flag without doing something to the kids that are passing out the LGBT flags? Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as being offensive to the broad population, I believe the Confederate flag is way above what the LGBT flag is. And like I said, let me reiterate, I am not offended by the LGBT rainbow flag, but I am just saying that there's people that are. Okay. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So do you suspend all the students involved? Do you just pull them in? And do you explain why that's a bad idea to fly the Confederate flag? You know, if you're going to bus one set of students, you almost have to bus the other because they're doing the same thing. They're passing out flags. Well, one group of students wasn't passing out little Confederate flags. There is a little bit of a difference there. They were just hoisting up one big Confederate flag. But I'll tell you what, it's a sticky situation. It's a sticky situation in today's society. That's where it's sticky. I have no doubt that 10 years ago, this would just been an open and shut where principals had more freedom to do what they needed to do the right thing. And I think it'd just be open and shut. And I think they'd take those boys with the Confederate flag. They say, hey, listen, all you assholes, you're on a 3-day suspension. That'd be the end of it. And the parents would be like, okay. But in today's society, I don't think things can go that smoothly. I think things have become more complicated in this society. So anyways, that's just the first news story that I'm hitting on. And I would like to hear your thoughts and comments about the Confederate flag and the students over there at that school and the passing out of the LGBT flags. But let me know. Okay, I'm going to get on to the next story here. Just put a little music in there because I heard some people complain that they can't tell when I'm jumping from story to story if they get sidetracked. So if you hear this, I'm going to the next story, you dumbass. Okay, so there's another interesting story that just came out on the 27th, and I'm recording this on the 28th, but California public schools are passing a new law, okay? And that law is that they can't suspend students for disobeying teachers, okay? That's what the new law says. This is coming out of Sacramento, California. Okay, and the new law takes effect in 2020, and it will impact schools across California. So here's, I'm reading from the centralvalley.com, yourcentralvalley.com, which is a up in the Central Valley news paper. And what they're saying is the new law taking effect in 2020 will impact schools across California. Now, starting next year, it will be illegal for public schools in the state to suspend students in the first through fifth grade for willfully defying teachers or administrators. Then it's going to move on from 2021 through 2025. It will be temporarily extended to kids in grades 6 through 8. Now, there are people out there that support this. And the supporters are saying that suspensions for willful defiance are disproportionately used against students of color. And another new law is coming out, a mandatory change to school start times. The law is set to be phased in over the next 3 years. High schools can start no earlier than 8:30 a.m. and no sooner than 8 a.m. for middle schoolers. This controversial measure could be costly, is at least that's what the state legislative analysis have said. Some schools may end up spending millions to accommodate the adjustment. Limiting and banning smartphone use is at the center of another law affecting schools in 2020. School boards will have the power to ban devices with the exception of emergencies or other special situations, such as medical reasons. Supporters say smartphone use is linked to lower student performance and interferes with the educational mission of schools. Now, let's rewind back up to the top of this article, because the kicker here, I mean, there's some other stuff in here. The start time, whatever. Okay, they're changing the start time. I personally think anything before 8 a.m. is a little too early for kids, but I know that some parents, they appreciate it because they got to get to work and they got to get these kids dropped off, and it's going to interfere with their work day. So I get it. There's an argument either way. Honestly, I don't think the state should be mandating what time a school should start. I think that should be left to the local school district. The Parent Teachers Association is something that should be taken to the parents. They should be able to vote on it. I don't think the state should mandate a start time, but that's the way that it's going, and there's nothing I can do about that now. Now, this whole thing, okay, where starting in 2020, first through fifth graders cannot be expelled for being defiant against teachers or administrators. That is insane. And then to take this in 2021 through 2025 and expand that to grades 6 through 8. So basically by 2025, anybody in school from first grade to eighth grade is not going to be able to be kicked out of school for being defiant against their teacher. Now, how is that something positive for our state? Okay, because this isn't a nationwide thing. This is a California thing. So I want to focus on what's going on in California. How is that positive? Because you know as good as I do that kids are assholes, or they can be assholes. And to take away any type of repercussions or any type of discipline for a student that wants to do these kind of things, because I can tell you right now, there's a large contingency of smart-ass kids that are going to refuse to do jack shit. They're going to show up to school. Teacher's going to say, hey, Johnny, open up your little calculus book there to page 72. And little Johnny's just going to put up the middle finger and he's going to say, make me, bitch. And what is the school going to do? They can't expel them. They can't kick them out. So what are they going to do? They're going to set up this whole nother room for defiant kids. They can't kick them out of the class, so they're going to send them to some home room with the lesbian gym teacher, and he's going to, she, he, whatever they identify as, is going to have to deal with these asshole little kids. And first through fifth grade, there's so much development of a personality that is going on in these children from the first to the fifth grade. It just is. I mean, that's a developmental stage. And if you can be openly known to defy the people of authority at your school and get away with it and not be expelled, how is that good for California? I mean, I would love to talk to somebody that is bolstering this argument. Now, but here's the thing. Here's the kicker. The kicker is that they're saying because it has been used disappropriately against children of color. Now, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, that is a big issue, and it's a very deep issue. So, but I don't think this is the right answer. I really don't. I don't think banning it across the board is gonna, because what the root problem is here in this situation, the problem is that they have teachers that are racist, that have racial biases, and instead of handling it with the teachers, they're just saying, okay, well, we're gonna make it where the teacher can't be racially biased anymore. But it's detrimental. It's damaging to the children. Okay. Now, so how do you fix this? Because I'm up for, okay, if it's happening disappropriately to children of color, how do you fix it? And the answer is, I don't know. It's another thing that I don't know. I mean, do we give them quotas? Is it like a racial quota thing? It's like, hey, Miss Stevens, you kicked out 3 African-American male children and 2 Hispanic children and 1 white children. We have an issue here. Is this something that can even be regulated? Which I don't think it is. I don't think it's something that can be regulated, and that's the problem. But they're trying to fix it with some type of far-out regulation that is going to negatively impact the children. So what do you do? And I don't know. This is a tough problem. But I think it's one of those things that needs to be handled in the local government. I think this is where principals need to be aware of what their teachers are doing. And if they notice a trend with one of their teachers where their teacher is always kicking out children of color, then maybe they need to step in and start reviewing. You know, maybe the principal needs to be more made aware of when a child is being expelled. He needs to have his finger on that pulse and understand exactly what's going on. But then it gets complicated. It gets complicated. Okay. And I'll tell you where it gets complicated. Because even if a teacher was to, or a principal, let me correct that. Even if a principal was to notice that a teacher is disappropriately kicking out children of color, what is he going to do about it? Because in today's society, teachers have a school union. They have a union that will fight for their defense, and it could just become this whole litigation that would go back and forth. And you know, that's one of my problems with unions. You know, if you've got a good union job, more power to you. I'm sure they take care of you in some manner, and you get treated a little bit better than you would on your own. So I understand that. But I do have a problem with unions when it comes to this type of stuff. And this is the same argument that I've had for bad cops. You know, you have bad cops. It's not easy for a police chief or a sheriff to get rid of these bad cops that they know are bad because there's the union's involved. You know, there has to be the paper trail. They have to have all their ducks in a row. And it's not easy just to say, hey, step into my office, Dan. Dan, you're a fucking prick, racist motherfucker. You're fired. A chief can't do that. He can't do that. Police chiefs, sheriffs can't do that. And it's the same thing with these teachers. I bet you anything that the other teachers, the principals, et cetera, are aware that these teachers are in fact racist. But the fact of the matter is what can they do about it? It's a flawed system. It's a flawed system. But do we fix every flawed system by enacting more regulation? I don't know. It's thinking points. It's not clear cut. But I'll tell you what, I do believe that this move is going to be bad for the children. And that's the most important part of this whole situation. The children given free rein where they can defy people in authority in their lives, I don't believe is ever a good move to make. You know, back in my day, you know, let me sound like the old man that's, you know, that walked uphill to school both ways. But back in my day, you know, as a child, you had to respect all adults, not just your parents. If you were at a friend's house and you were doing something wrong, that friend's parent would probably smack you right on your ass the same way your own parents would. And they would tell your parents about it, and your parents wouldn't do jack shit except maybe spank your ass again when you got home. And you had to have respect for all adults. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Respect. Respect for authority. And a lot of the problems that we have in today's society is because the younger generations do not have that respect for authority. And this move that they're making in Sacramento for California schools for first through eighth graders by 2025 to be able to defy authority, I believe, is a devastating blow to our education system. Now, if you think otherwise, believe me, I would like to know your opinion. But that's it on that news story, and I'm going to move on to something else. Yeah, there's the music again. Oh, sorry, I thought I lost my headphones for a second. On to the next news story. So, okay, here's some stupid news, but it's coming from very intelligent people. And I think some of the most stupid ideas that I've heard in the recent times have been coming from people that are alleged to be the smartest or the educators of our youth, our young adults, our college kids. And what I'm referring to is Dr. Sonia Falk, okay? And what she is claiming is she says that calling someone a nerd or a geek should be a hate crime. Now, I'm not making this up. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. And I'm reading from the New York Post. A British psychotherapist stirred up a social media squabble Thursday when she suggested on national TV that calling someone a nerd or geek should be considered a hate crime. Now, Dr. Sonia Falk, she's also a psychology lecturer at the University of East London, appeared on Good Morning Britain alongside Bobby Siegel. And now Bobby Siegel, he's a mathematician, he's a teacher and writer, and he describes himself as a proud geek. On the program, Falk suggested that ridiculing someone with those two terms and others like brainiac and egghead should have legal consequences. Now, this is in her own words. She said, "I think people find it startling because very high IQ people are a minority group in society who are very much ignored. They're not understood and largely neglected." Now, that's what Ms. Falk said. She said, it is the case that very high IQ people very often are bullied at school. For example, they're the target for being bullied quite viciously. When have we gone too far? Now, the response from Siegel, the mathematician self-described geek, he argued that today many view the geek label as a badge of honor, which I know a bunch of geeks. I know a bunch of geeks, and they see right now, geek is chic, man. If you're watching Doctor Who and you're going to the comic book store on the weekends, you're going to Comic-Con, you're going to get all the pussy in the world because geek is chic as fuck right now. All right? Mathematician Siegel, he said, while the term geek and nerd has historically been seen as being negative, people have now embraced the term and have seen it as positive. He went on to explain, "I think with geeks and nerds, if you see it as a negative thing, it could be negative. But if you embrace it, actually to be a geek means a good thing." Now, still, Falk shot back and emphasized that neurodiversity, or the difference in people's brains, is an aspect of individual difference which really ought to be recognized by society. She said, if you look at those legislations that relate to hate crimes, hate crime is simply about somebody being targeted in a negative way for who they are. That was according to Falk. And a person with a very high IQ who comes across in a different way often is targeted in that way. So I, being Falk, think it's an individual difference that should be respected. So commenters on the Good Morning Britain Twitter page largely shot down Falk's argument. One commenter said that, "I think nerd and the geek have taken ownership of the of those words, that the nerds and the geeks have taken ownership of those words, flipping it from a negative to a positive." One user also wrote that geek chic is a thing. People want to be them now. If someone attempts to use that as an insult today, it is laughable. It's not a hate crime. It's a compliment. And another person wrote that let's make every insult a hate crime. And another person commented, "Better build 100 prisons more. Stupidity is dangerous." Now, the thing is, like, geek and nerd. Okay. All right. I mean, are people getting... to put that on the level of hate crime, okay, when somebody was labeled a Jew in the past, I mean, they were getting gassed in gas chambers. Black people being called derogative terms that were being lynched. Did I miss something? Is there some nerd geek lynchings or something that's going on where that is even remotely in the same ballpark? What I think it does is when you start saying things like geek and nerd are a hate crime, it belittles the actual real hate crime that is going on in this world. You know, and so is geek and nerd a hate crime? Hell no. People are off their rockers, man. And the scary thing about this is the most scary thing about this is she's a professor and she's ingraining this into kids' heads. You know what I mean? These are real people, real professors, the people that are out there molding the minds. Let's try and get that right. Molding the minds of future generations. So I don't know, man. It's just nasty. Okay. I'm going to wrap up with this last story. Yeah, there's the music for the segue, you dummies. Okay. So there's a school in Florida, right? And this school shot up to the top of academic performance. And so everybody's asking, well, what did they do different? You know, how do you go from, you know, nowhere in the ranking to number one? Well, guess what they did? They dropped Common Core and they soared to number one. This is Mason Classical Academy. It skyrocketed to number one with 90% scoring proficient. A school in Florida soared to the number one position in the state's top schools list after it ditched the Common Core program in favor of traditional teaching methods, according to government statistics. The charter school, which I know there's a lot of people that got a lot of hate for charter schools. There's people out there that have a lot of love for charter schools, but this is a charter school. The charter school, which is called Mason Classical Academy in Naples, Florida, decided against forcing kids to learn using the Common Core method of teaching endorsed by Obama. Teachers at the school rejected the Common Core State Standards Initiative due to the way it deliberately dumbs down children, creating unnecessary and complicated techniques for working out relatively simple problems. So, now I don't know how many of you out there are Common Core supporters. And I think I hear more negative things spoken about Common Core than I do hear positive things. Now, maybe it's the people that I hang around. Maybe it's the people that I know. And maybe I'm coming at this sideways. But if you're a Common Core math or whatever education supporter, I would like to hear your views and your standpoints. But this school basically went out there and rejected the backward approach of Common Core. And this Common Core, you know, and I'm reading from the story, Common Core, which sees kids memorize entire words in kindergarten before later being introduced to phonics once they're in elementary school. That's backwards. That's backwards from probably anybody that's listening to this podcast. It's backwards to how you were taught. Okay. It just is. And this article goes on to say, by that point, when you're reversing things, when you're putting the big words in front of the phonics, you know, being taught things backwards, at that point, their brains are already used to whole words, which makes grasping the concept of phonics and applying it far more difficult than it needs to be. So what is this classical, what has been their approach? Well, the approach embraced by the academy, it entails this. According to their website, language-focused learning based on written and spoken words makes the brain work harder to convert words into concepts, while image-based approaches encourage passivity. The time-tested approach of phonics is very likely the reason you're able to read this article in the first place, and it's hard to imagine why anyone would consider it inadequate. Thanks to the classical approach of phonics, an impressive 90% of third grade students at Mason Classical Academy were proficient in English language arts, compared to just 58% in the county overall, most of whom rely on Common Core. In fact, the Mason Classical Academy, whatever third graders, were in Florida's top 2%, while fifth graders from the academy ranked in the state's top 1%. Now, these students, they look even better and smarter when you compare them to California, where the state average is just 43% proficiency among third graders. Even worse, six public schools in Baltimore do not have a single student who is proficient in either English language arts or math. It's almost like students are being set up to fail. Now that is incredible. I can't believe I just read that. That even worse, six schools in Baltimore don't have one single third grader who is proficient in either English language arts or math. Now, I don't know how far you have to go to understand that the system is broken and that it doesn't work. I mean, proof is in the pudding. Okay, so, okay, we're a big country. We've got a lot of kids out there. If you see this one pop up where one school reverts back to the traditional teaching of the way everybody else was taught in this country, and is successful by that kind of a majority, then you need to go, okay, if I'm the Board of Education, you know what I do? Okay, I know we're invested in this Common Core thing, but I'll tell you what, if it's working for that school, let's try it in a couple of our schools and see how they fare. See if they come out ahead. Hell, try it in one of those six schools in Baltimore, because you don't have a third grader that knows shit there anyways. You know, I don't know. Those third graders in Baltimore, they must be walking around with like freaking their head up their ass or something. I mean, they don't have one student. But is it the kid's fault? Probably not. Probably not. It's the system's fault. The system is failing. And Common Core is a brick in this system that is failing. It's been failing. We've seen test scores just slide dramatically since it's been in place. It's got to go. It's got to go. And the proof is in the pudding. Pudding. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's been over about 30 minutes of me just ranting on the news. I know I only got through like three or four stories, but you know, I just missed everybody. I missed the listeners. It's, you know, I always like hanging out with the listeners and getting on here and being able to talk to you. But I'll tell you what, we are coming in. I believe we are doing a show on New Year's Eve. We probably won't kick it off till about 11 p.m. or something like that. But I think we're going to ring in the new year with a live show that you can watch on YouTube or Facebook. But other than that, it's been nice hanging out with you. This is Radio Underland. This is Jake. Follow us on all of our social media at Radio Underland, Facebook, the whole nine yards. Follow the podcast. And I'll tell you what, if you ever want to help our show out, go on iTunes and give us a positive review. You know, it's free. Just give us a freaking positive review, you lazy ass. You know, I heard this other scientific study that you have to ask people to do things three times before they will listen. So go to iTunes and write us a positive review. Okay? I'm going to ask you one more time. Go to iTunes and write us a positive review. All right, this is Jake from Radio Underland. I will see you guys live on the air Tuesday, and you guys have a good one. And this has been just kind of a daily news update. And I'll see you guys later, man. Take it easy. Bye-bye.